everybody. Welcome back to the sessions and to part two of a conversation that we have been having with a very dear friend of mine and an awesome pastor of Jubilee Church in London, alongside her husband, Pastor Tope Colioso. This is my friend, Pastor Kemi Colioso. And she also runs the Courage Women's Conference, where I have had the privilege of speaking. And we're really hoping that we're going to see you in July of 21. For a conference. Amen. So we are prophetically declaring COVID over.
Over. Totally over.
Yeah, it's cover. It's COVID over. I want to start with a question that came from an audience member, because we have people watching live. And it's from Miche, and she's a regular on the sessions and at Girl Club. And she says, do you think with churches being shut, that it's the Holy Spirit at work through the internet? Because our church in Bristol has more people logging on to our Sunday services than who've ever come to our church now. And Kemi, you mentioned last week that you had a lot of people logging in that might not otherwise come to church. But I didn't think about it in this way. Do you think that it's actually the Holy Spirit at work through the internet?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes we can over-spiritualize the Holy Spirit and he can work whichever way he wants to work. And I think the Holy Spirit is there prompting people. Some people have clicked on it by mistake. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that was God ordained. There's no mistake there. You clicked on it, you're like, oh, what's this? Preaching. Okay, I'll sit down and I'll watch it. That has to be God. The Holy Spirit is working in so many wonderful ways. You know, people, and for us, a lot of the time, people would take the link and just send it to their friends. They'll WhatsApp it in their friendship group and say, hey, by the way, my church is on. And we always say to them, do it like 1:45 the time, you know, give it 15 minutes, because if you do it too early, because, oh no, I've got something to do. Well, if they're sitting there at home on a Sunday morning having their breakfast and you send them a link, they're more likely to just click on it thinking, oh, I'll see what's going on there. And people have done that.
Right.
100% Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, what does the word say? If my name be lifted up, I will draw all men to me.
Oh, yes.
I think we're just being faithful to lift his name up on the internet. So I want to throw a scripture at you. Mm. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I find myself asking the question the last couple of mornings in my time with the Lord, but are we the same yesterday, today, and forever? Especially after things like this.
Yeah, no, we are not. You know, the Bible says, you know, God is not a man that he should change his mind, which tells us something, yeah, that we change a lot, but God remains constant. He's the same yesterday, today, nothing changes. The word of God is the same. You know, we just, you know, language changes. So you might pick up the scriptures that were written, you know, the King James version. You probably don't understand it because it's, you know, it is written in Old English. But the truth of the word stays the same. God is the one constant thing that we have. But we are the ones that change. But then we need to kind of be rooted in him to keep us focused on him. But yeah, absolutely. God doesn't, but we do.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's very interesting because you mentioned the King James version. And I've often said, whenever I'm speaking, there's such a fear I find that people can have of reading the word of God, because sometimes they'll hesitantly say, but I don't understand it. You know, I don't understand what I'm reading. And then I'll say, well, what version, what translation are you reading? Well, King James. And I always laugh because I'm telling you, I always say, if it were for King James, I wouldn't be saved. I would not be saved.
I grew up on King James. And this is confession time. My favorite verse is 1 Peter 2:9, which says, we are a chosen generation. And the King James Version has stuck in my head. And I have tried to write the English Standard Version everywhere, and it doesn't stick. We are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. What does that mean?
Oh, I know what it means, though, because that is one of my favorite scriptures, Kemi. And I love that you love that scripture, because I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have in the church today, is that we don't want to be a peculiar people. We want to be like the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, we want to look like them and dress like them and talk like them, but we're not called to be that.
Yeah. But when you say to somebody, we're a peculiar people, they look at you peculiarly and say, what do you mean by that?
Right.
I've been trying very hard to kind of update my version, but that's who we are, a peculiar people.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I had exactly a conversation about this scripture with some of my young nieces when they were in high school and as they started college. And I remember I told one of my nieces, I said, put it this way, you're going to look very peculiar when you're in your first year of college and all of your friends and teammates and roommates are drinking to the point of complete intoxication and having relations with boys that aren't their husbands, that aren't even their boyfriends, and posting photos of themselves looking very odd. When you're the one not doing that, come back to me and tell me if you know what peculiar looks like. And it is so funny, because do you know that we have laughed about that she just graduated from university last year with her virginity intact and her dignity and her grace and her love of the Lord? And she said to me, Auntie, I was peculiar when I started college and I'm peculiar graduating, and I get it. I get it now. And that is really, it's really to be a people that don't follow the world.
Set apart, absolutely. Set apart. That's who we are, set apart.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, in line with that, do you think that we should be teaching the Bible differently today versus yesterday?
I think the truth of the Bible never changes. Mm-hmm. I think the way we deliver it needs to change. You can't read King James to this millennial generation. I mean, I barely understand what they're saying. the message doesn't change, but the way you deliver it has to change. You know, we I call it a microwave generation. Everybody wants things bing, 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 now. You're not going to, you know, if you want to communicate something, it has to be done succinctly, it has to be done sharply, it has to be done concise. You know, my sons, I mean, they own books because I bought them books, like paper books. I love my books. But when I give them a book, they're like, can I just download it?
Right.
The message doesn't change, but the mode that we deliver it changes. And there's nothing great about sticking to the old ways. It's like, you know, I love hymns, but if we're going to build a church for the millennials, if we're going to build a church for the are they called Z-Gen or X? I don't know what, where we're going with this thing.
Gen Z,
thank you very much.
Although I have to say Z-Gen sounds a lot more civil.
If my boys watch this, they're going to be like, oh my goodness, get her off. But if we're going to, you know, if we're going to build a church that includes these kids, then we can't continue doing things the way that we were taught. We've got to go into their world. So our church is multi-generational. I mean, you've been there. We have a lot of young people.
Yeah.
And often pastors will say, oh, how do you get your young people to stay? We listen to them. We have them in our leadership teams. We ask them questions. We open up the door and we let them know that their voice will be heard, you know. My husband was saying the other day, our worship leader is in his 20s and he was putting a worship, and once he's got the songs together, he always shows it to the leadership team. Oh, this is where we're going this Sunday. And my husband said, oh, can we do this song? You know, and he looked at him and he said, so what's your thinking behind it? My husband said, he sat back and was like, well, I'm the pastor. And he's like, he loved the fact that he could ask, what's your thinking behind it? And just push a bit. And I think if we don't learn to do that as pastors, we're going to end up with just people our generation. Right. And in a few years' time, you're going to look back and think, where are the young people? You never let them have a voice. And, you know, we don't have all the answers. So sometimes we need to listen. Right. And we need to say, actually, how are people, you know, I mean, you know, I don't live in their world. And so they have to come and help me. So if I want young people to come to Courage, I have to listen to young people.
Exactly.
And not just do it the way that I'm going to do it, because that's the way we've done it year after year.
It's true. It's very, very true. Christina leads worship at the International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle's ministry, very large international ministry, actually based in Kansas City. But you, I mean, you guys are, I mean, you're known for young people. Yes. So yeah, what do you, and I know you've had so many young people on your team, although when I look at you, I mean, I feel like I'm looking at a 17-year-old. But she is grown with a husband and two kids.
So. Yeah, I started young.
Yes, you did. How was it for you? Because I know you've had challenges sometimes just, okay, they're young. How is that? How do you experience this?
Well, first off, something that I really appreciate about the International House of Prayer is that we were all young when we started. So I started singing when I was like on a worship team and even given a place of leadership when I was like 20, you know, and newly saved at that, like saved for like, I mean, just saved. I'm talking like 6 months, just saved and very rough. And I love what you're saying, Kemi, because allowing young people to, for one, feel like, oh, I'm part of something. I'm not just being told what to do, but I'm given like this opportunity to make mistakes, learn, grow, and then also be discipled and then build these, like kind of find my own giftings. That's powerful because then, you know, then I became 21, 22, started leading my own team. It allowed me, it kind of showed me how to let others, you know, find their voice, find their giftings, you know, find their strengths and mess up. And still let me, I mean, I was 22 leading a group of people and I messed up all the time. But at the same time, having that ability and people who are like, you know what, I trust you and I'm going to help you out through this. It actually, it raised up and trained a bunch of young adults to still go, I love worship. I love prayer. I'm married. I have kids now, but I will still pour out, you know, time into this, you know, for worship and prayer, you know? So I love what you're saying, Kemi, everything that you're saying, give them a voice, let them fail, let them feel like they have an investment or that they're a part of what you're doing, you know?
Right through this lockdown, the team that has led worship, average age has been about 22. So we have had, you know, they have just come together and they, somebody once said to me, said, who would you choose? Would you go for ability, availability, or I can't remember the other one. And I was like, is it not ability? I said, no, availability. Young people are available. Let them on your team. If there's one thing they have time. They have time to be trained. They have time to be taught. They have time to be raised. But what we tend to do is we tend to ignore them. And then we complain when they're on the streets doing whatever. You engage, get them in. So we, you know, pre-COVID, we have a building. And honestly, after school, it's full of teenagers doing their homework, hanging out and learning instruments. That's what they do. We have the worship team there. And the worship team open up and then we have guitars and drums and stuff like that. And we just let them tinker with it. And my husband says, yeah, if they break it, we will buy another one. You know, we worry about things like, oh, you've given them a very expensive laptop. We open up, we give them laptops and say, you know, do some animation, do a bit of, you know, we just let them just try. And from there, we have just raised so many kids now. I mean, when people look at our worship band, they can't believe how young they are. And I said, but we didn't just start yesterday. We have been investing in these children since the time they stepped foot in that church. Can you play an instrument? Do you want to play an instrument? I can't afford one. Here you go.
Right.
Wow.
We want you to lead worship. Oh, but I can't. Don't worry. We're here. If you mess up, don't worry about it. We'll take it. My husband always says, don't worry. I've got your back. You know.
Can I just say something also on that is just, moving me about what you're saying is that you're basically fathering and mothering the next generation.
Exactly.
And like, if you just, like you said, if you just push them aside and say, this is for the mature believers, the grownups, we're going to worship now. And you just forget about them and you get angry later. Why are they acting out? Why are they doing this? Like what you said, consistency, fathering, mothering, and it is allowing for mistakes and it's bearing with kids when they mess up. It's like what you
do over your interview.
Right.
I mean, but isn't it, look, you guys, isn't it just the way that Jesus fathers us?
Yes.
This is how God is with us. He's merciful. He's patient. He's kind. He's forgiving. I know I felt the sting of his rebukes before, but I always feel an even bigger embrace after. Oftentimes, I don't even feel a rebuke because I've punished myself so much that I think he just goes, well, now she just really needs to know that she's loved. And right. And I mean, it really is. It's parenting 101. And I'm thinking about for our viewers, you know, this isn't just a conversation about how we can be effective leaders in church. It's how you can be an effective believer at work with your colleagues who may or may not know the Lord. It's how you can be an effective parent and leader in your home. It's about calling forth vision out of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also about asking God, you know, for every season of life, for every arena you find yourself, what I've learned to do is to say, Lord, what is my purpose in this season? Mm. Why am I in this particular job? Why am I, for those of you who don't know, I worked in the NHS, which is our healthcare service here in the UK, for over 20 years, 25 years. And with every position I took on board, I knew that God had a purpose for me there. And even in parenting, Lord, my purpose as a parent is to bring up these boys so that they glorify you. Mm. You know, and how do I just, you know, and people say to me today, oh, you know, how did you bring up two young boys in London? And they, you know, they love the Lord, they follow the Lord, you know, like your son. And I don't know if you agree with me, but a lot of the times I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just trusting God. I'm just trusting God.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I don't know what, a lot of times I didn't know what to do except pray, surrender, and trust. Yeah. And be real. Yeah. Be real.
Be real. Be real. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I knew that the one thing I knew was that my purpose as a mother is to raise boys that glorify God. Mm. And so, you know, I'm going to take them to church. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to pray to God to cover them. But also I'm going to model what, I don't want them to look at me and think mom was a hypocrite, because that's what put kids off work, church. If you go to church and you're like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and you get home and say, did you see what that girl wore? And did you see what the pastor said? The kids are hearing that. They're picking every single thing up. And then when they get to their teenagers, you wonder why they don't want to come to church. Mm. Be real.
They pick up on all the hypocrisy and all of the inconsistency. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, it's true. It's like our walk is so much greater than our talk. I mean, at the end of the day, because people can see how you walk out your response to challenges, but you can talk about it all day long until they see it in your walk. They don't believe it. It's no foundation. You know, I love one of the ladies who's watching sent in a comment, and she said, you know, you may know this, but in our Vineyard church and in all the Vineyard churches, the strap line, and I do know this, Miche, because my husband had a lot of Vineyard friends, but the strap line is everyone gets a chance to play. And she says, and all the young get involved. And that really is, I think it's a heart for involving the entire body of Christ, for realizing that we all have something significant to contribute, and for acknowledging the importance of the eye and the hand. I mean, one of the things that I love as an itinerant minister is that I love to go into other people's churches, such as yours, Pastor Kemi, and I love to watch and to see, okay, God, you brought me here. What am I to do to strengthen what they're doing? Because you're on the line every day. Pastoring is quite different, you know, running the church is quite different. And so I'm always looking to figure out how I can build up what the pastors are doing. And I think that when we look at ourselves that way in the body of Christ, we can play a really healthy, great role, you know, but because no man is an island, you know, but there are no rock star solos in the kingdom of Christ. I mean, only Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. I think I first learned that song at your church, Christina. You know, He Alone is the famous one.
Yeah.
Only him.
True.
Only him. You know. But you mentioned something, Kemi, and I'd love to pick up on it. Purpose, right? Yeah. You mentioned purpose. How can young people really find and walk in their purpose? Especially today. The world's a crazy place today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think purpose is one of these things that I, you know, a few years ago, everyone was running around looking for their purpose. you know, I need to find my purpose. I need to find my purpose. There's this like frenzied thing about, so I took time and I thought, you know, I really need to dig into God's word. And what I believe God was saying to me, you know, in Ephesians 1 and from verse 3, I think, God talks about, you know, why he has called us. And actually, our primary purpose, you see, the purpose is there. It's not about finding it, it's about discovering it. It's there. You need to just, you don't need to find it out there, it's in you. Because we all have a primary purpose, and our primary purpose is that we are called by God and we're supposed to be holy and separate unto him. That's our primary purpose. You're called to be separate and to live a holy life unto God. That's your prime. Everybody who's born again into the body of Christ, that's your purpose. You already have a purpose. Live for Christ.
Right.
But within that, it's while you're living for Christ that you begin to think, okay, what is my specific purpose? And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. They're saying, no, what's my specific purpose? Well, if you start with living for Christ, you begin to walk into your specific, because your specific purpose is to do with your background, your gifting, your personality. Mm-hmm. But it is discovered while you're just being who God has called you to be. Mm-hmm. If I would use Courage Conference as an example, you know, my bent is I am quiet, and I Courage Conference was not on my agenda. Okay. It wasn't on my agenda at all. And it was just in the midst of me just obeying God and living my life and saying, Lord, just use me. That was it. Use me, Lord. And all of a sudden, you know, God begins to talk to me about this conference, and I begin to argue with God, as you do, or maybe you don't, but I'm that kind of person going, no, Lord. And God said, no, yes, you're going to do this. And bit by bit, I began to realize that actually I do have giftings. But it wasn't that I went looking for it. It's that I began to discover it in walking with obedience with God. So if I talk about there's primary purpose, there's specific purpose, and then your ultimate purpose. Your ultimate purpose is whatever you do, you need to glorify him. So if you are in Christ, you already have a purpose. Walk your walk as unto the Lord, and you will then begin to discover where God is leading you. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Don't keep saying, no, my purpose is to lead worship. I'm not going to do anything until I get that worship leader's, you know, opportunity. When people come to our church and say, yeah, I'm a gifted singer, praise the Lord, we're happy for you. Do you mind being tea and coffee? If the face turns, then it's a matter of, I don't know that you're ready to be leading worship yet. I really feel that whatever your hand finds to do, do it. And God will begin to open up doors for you, and you will begin to discover what he wants you to do. The minute you have your eyes fixed on the ultimate purpose, that whatever I'm doing, I want to glorify him, you'll be surprised that he will take you through that path. You know, it's not going to come from, I don't know, influencers or life coaches or anything like that. It's actually just being who God has called you to be and being who he wants you to be wherever you're planted. And then you will just fulfillment. Now, when one of the most fulfilling things for me about Courage, and you mentioned it earlier, Cynthia, you know, is just watching women who have been so broken just find release in God. Just watching women set free, just watching women. For me, I'm like, thank you, Lord. I am doing what you call me to do. If you asked, if you told me 10 years ago that that's my purpose, I would say, no, of course it's not, you know. But it was in the working that God then began to show me what he wanted me to do.
I agree with you so much on that, because I have to tell you, I have moments where I will be sharing, you know, from my heart, sharing the gospel and standing there, you know, on a podium or what have you. And I have moments where I'm speaking to everyone else, but I'm speaking to God, and I'm thanking him and glorifying him, because I'm knowing that I'm standing in exactly the purpose that he called me to. And it's been years of getting there. Nobody is an overnight success. Period. Not in the world, and sometimes in the world, not usually, but definitely not in the kingdom.
Not in the kingdom. You've got to work the work. Because, you know, like you say, you're standing there. I remember the first year of Courage, at the end of it, I was supposed to close with the Lord's Prayer, and I was in tears. I was just in floods of tears because I said to myself, I remember looking up to God and saying, I am the most amazed person, and I still choke up when I say it now. I cannot believe I am standing on this, you know, on this stage. I know where God has brought me from. I know the mess that God brought me out of. And to stand there and to see how God has just used little me and the team and everybody else, it has to be God. But would I have chosen it? No. But I know that this is where God wants me to be. So for anyone looking for their purpose, just be in Christ. Keep your eyes focused on him and just pray, Lord, help me discover what's on the inside of me. And it's going to meet you. It might be something you didn't even think of. You know, so watch out, Christina. You might end up pastoring.
Exactly. You heard it here first, prophetically. I mean, Pastor, we're out of time. And I mean, I would love to, I don't know what your time's like. I'd love to have you stick around with us for another week, but I know we've already taken a lot. So
I'm okay. I'm at home. So
you're okay. All right.
I'm okay. Whatever you want me to do, Cynthia, I'll do it.
Okay, well then for those of you watching, this is what we're going to do because we're out of time for this week's session. So I'm going to say goodbye and we're going to come back and we're going to pick up this conversation next week because I think that this has been a really wonderful and encouraging conversation for all of us as we sit here really and truly wanting to live our lives for Christ and wanting to walk it out stronger and more clearly in a very unclear world.
Yeah.
So we'll see you next week.
Love covered the broken like beautiful garments. Love shattered the darkness with the light of new day. Love singing a new song, a song of deliverance, a new beginning. God, you've made a darkness with the light of new day. Love singing a new song.